in a world weary of war and conflict, we long for peace, for the ending of hostilities. And the Bible does tell us that as believers, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." But every Christian is engaged in a conflict in which we cannot make or even accept peace. We are engaged in a conflict in which we cannot accept peace. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are meant to wage an all-out war with worldliness. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are meant to daily be at war with worldliness. And that conflict starts right within ourselves. It is a conflict between our old earthly nature, and the Bible word for that is our flesh, our sinful human nature. There's a conflict between our old sinful human nature and our new spiritual nature, which we received through Jesus Christ. And so there's a conflict going on here. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, to discover the roots and the results of your war with worldliness. Grab your Bible, open it up to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one on the pew rack. I need you to be engaged with God's word this morning. And grab your insert. I think it will be helpful to figure out where I am in the message. And it has other Bible references there. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, I read in Jesus' name. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, teach us what your word means for us on a daily, even moment-by-moment basis. Teach us how there is this conflict within us between our flesh, our sinful human nature, and our spirit. And Lord, teach us the power available to us to live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, so that we do not gratify the desires of our sinful human nature and live according to that. And so, Lord, open this word and teach us. Be our teacher this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a war within us. There is a battle raging. Look at verses 16 and 17. So I say, live, literally walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And when it says you will not, it is the strongest possible negative in the Greek language. It means absolutely not. Ume, by no means, by no means. And so if we live or walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of our sinful nature. We're going to live one way or another. Let's just take a quick poll here. Your phone. Most people probably have one. I already heard one go off this morning. So we're going to take a poll. Apple or Android? How many of you have Apple iPhones? All right. How about Android? All right. How many of you don't know? If you don't know the difference, you're not going to understand what I'm going to say next. Christianity is not an app that we download into our lives. The Christian life, our spiritual life, is not an app that we add to our lives. The Christian life is the operating system. And so if you've got an Apple iPhone, you've got a different operating system that's incompatible with an Android phone. And I'm glad my computer tech over here is nodding his head affirmatively, like I'm not making a mistake with this. In other words, if you're going to download an app, how many of you know what that means? You've downloaded an app on your phone? Okay, good. Even you guys, you know, we have lots of apps that do lots of great things. But if you're going to download an app and you have an iPhone, you got to go to the Apple Store, right? And if you have an Android phone, you need to go to the Google Play Store, right? And if you've got an Android, you can't go to the Apple Store. And if you've got an Apple phone, you can't go to the Google Store. You've got to do it according to the operating system. Why? Because they're incompatible. What I'm saying here is there's a conflict, there's a war raging, because our fleshly life, our sinful human nature that we've all inherited generation through generation from Adam and Eve, that sinful human nature that puts ourself first, that is me first, self-centered, is incompatible with living according to a new spiritual life that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord, He says He will come and live in us and be with us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is present in our lives, and we've begun a whole new spiritual life. Jesus said, "You must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." God has brought a whole new dimension to our life, a whole new spiritual life. It's a whole new operating system. If we think we're going to be operating according to the flesh, then we can't be operating according to the Spirit. We're going to be doing one or the other. Apple or Android, there's a conflict here. They are incompatible operating systems, and you're going to operate either out of our sinful human nature, or we're going to operate out of our new spiritual, born-again, new life nature in Jesus Christ. In Romans 7:23, the Apostle Paul explicitly uses the language of warfare to say this is a battle. This is a war that is raging within us. And the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:11 warns us against acting on our sinful human desires, which wage war against our soul. So this is an area of our lives where we're not to be peacemakers. We are to be actively engaged in a warfare with our sinful human nature. It is the Spirit against the selfish, sinful human nature. And so don't try to make peace here. We are at war. Let me give one example of that. In 1938, Europe was, in a sense, sitting on the edge of their seat, wondering what was going to happen, because Adolf Hitler had recently annexed, another word for taken over, Austria, and the southern part of Czechoslovakia was next, and he said that he would invade Czechoslovakia on October 1st, and at the last minute, the British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, met with Hitler in Munich to see if we can avert this war because of the treaties that were there. If they invaded Czechoslovakia, then France and England would need to declare war against Germany. And the whole of Europe, and especially England, was in dread, in anticipation of what might happen. The memories of World War I were too fresh, and they did not want to enter into another war on the continent. And so Neville Chamberlain thought he could keep his country out of war by signing a peace treaty with Adolf Hitler. The treaty gave Hitler, who had recently taken over Austria, as I said, the southern part of Czechoslovakia. Okay, we're going to let you just have Czechoslovakia then, the southern part of Czechoslovakia, and we won't go to war with you. That's your only ambition. And Chamberlain said that the agreement that he signed reaffirmed, quote, the desire of our two peoples never to go to war against one another. He said, I believe it is peace for our time. And so Neville Chamberlain wanted peace and signed a treaty that said we will not go to war. But in less than a year, when Hitler took over the rest of Czechoslovakia, invaded Poland, Chamberlain again had to come back to his nation and said, we are declaring war on Germany. Here's the point. When we try to appease our sinful nature, when we said, okay, we're going to give in this much but no more, we've already lost the battle. Sin cannot be negotiated with. It has to be killed. It's an all-out war. And we can't settle for anything else. When we try to appease our sinful nature by agreeing to give in just this time or just this much, thinking our sin will be contained or satisfied, we're deceiving ourselves. There can be no peace with our sinful human nature. It must be crucified. And we'll get to that. Secondly, is the warning we have here against worldliness. It says, for the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And now Paul said the acts of the sinful nature were obvious because to his readers, they were a perfect description of the pagan practices of that day, that many of them had been engrossed in, partaking of, and now have been saved out of this pagan culture. And so when Paul says the works of the sinful nature are obvious, and I'm not going to read the whole list, they said, oh yeah, it's very obvious to us because that's the way we used to live, or that's the way our neighbors are living. But Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, who continue living like this, I warn you that if you continue to live that way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's incompatible with the Christian life. When we live like the world around us, contrary to the standard of God's righteousness, that is what the Bible calls worldliness. Worldliness is living our lives like the world around us. It's living our lives no different than the unbelievers in our society. It is living according to our sinful desires instead of living out this new spiritual life we have in Jesus. Worldliness is living life for our own personal gratification without regard to God's will or purpose. It is self-centered rather than God and others-centered. Titus 2:11 describes worldliness as our natural self-centered desires that are in conflict with God's will. And so we must constantly fight against worldliness because of our sinful human nature. It is the line of least resistance. It is the path of least resistance. And if we do what comes naturally, most often we're going to be doing what's wrong and sinning against God. And so worldliness is living according to the world's standards, according to our own sinful flesh, instead of living according to the direction, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the cravings or desires of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world." It's all self-centered. And the world and its desires is passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. And so worldliness is contrary to God's will for our lives. When Jude talks about worldly people, he says they are devoid of the Spirit. They live that way because they don't have the Spirit of God living in them to direct them in a different way. And so that brings us to the next point, warfare in the Spirit. And in verse 24, it says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." The sinful nature is not to be negotiated with. It's not to be appeased. Another method of warfare is engaging in a war of attrition. And you're going to think you're in a classroom now as I'm lecturing you on warfare. But that simply, it comes from a Latin term which simply means to wear down the other side until they give in. And that's how we won the Revolutionary War. We were fighting a superior military force. The British were arguably the greatest army in the world at that time, and we had a ragtag band of irregulars fighting this war, these revolutionary soldiers. We knew we didn't have the power to go head-to-head with them, so they fought a war of attrition. They just tried to wear them down until they gave up, and they finally did. And we won the Revolutionary War. This is 4th of July week, so we can bring that in. But here's the point. Satan is not a superior force to us. Greater is he that is in you, the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world. That's Satan. So Satan cannot do a direct frontal attack against us because we are protected by the Holy Spirit within us. So what does Satan do? He just tries to wear you down. He knows he can't defeat you outright, but he just attacks in little ways, a little skirmish here, a little skirmish there, just trying to wear you down until you give in. Don't compromise. Don't appease. Don't fight a war of attrition with sin. It says, if you belong to Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ Jesus, verse 24, have killed the sinful nature with its passions and desires. I'm going to talk more about that next week. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." Even though we are human beings and we're living in this world and walking among other human beings, doesn't mean we have to wage this war by human standards or human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. They have divine power. We will fight a war not in our own human ability, but it is warfare in the Spirit of God as we walk by the Spirit, as we are led by the Spirit, as we live by the Spirit, as we keep in step with the Spirit. And that means living according to the operating system that God has provided us as a spiritual life. We're to live out a new spiritual life in Jesus Christ. If we go back and grab our old phone and live our old life, we're going to get the old results. We have to be living and walking with, on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, the Spirit of God, taking God's Word and applying it to our hearts and saying, God, I need you. I can't live this life without you. We weren't meant to. It is the Spirit of God who comes and fills us so we can live this way. It says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Acts are what we do, prompted by our sinful human nature. But fruit is what is produced in our life when we are living through the Spirit of God. And it's the Spirit of God who produces that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the things that are going to animate our lives. It's the fruit that God brings. And fruit is not something that we take for ourselves. The fruit tree doesn't live on its own fruit, right? The fruit tree has it there for the benefit of others. It's for God's glory and for the serving of others that God produces this fruit in our lives. So it's a completely different mindset. Instead of self-centered, it's God and others-centered. It's a whole different way to live. And as we live that life, we have to realize that we are in a constant war with worldliness. And we are to crucify that sinful human nature and begin to live that new life in Jesus Christ. To be continued next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's a lot here. But Lord, I just pray something sunk in and we realize that we got a choice. We can go back and live the old life, or we can live a new life in Jesus Christ by your Spirit who's already living in us. Father, help us to die to that old nature. Help us to recognize that indeed if I believe Jesus Christ and received him as my Lord and Savior, that I am crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, Father, may I live my life for him. In Jesus' name, amen.